Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
A global chip shortage has saddled the auto industry. Now, some automakers, including Ford, are looking to get into the chip business themselves.
They control their own fate, essentially. You know, they feel like if they're able to design and develop on their own, they have a tight partnership with a semiconductor company, they may not be left in the situation they are now, which is facing this crisis that has disrupted production.
And state attorneys general are launching an investigation into Instagram. Plus, why you'll have a better than usual chance to catch a rare celestial event tonight. It's Thursday, November 18th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. We report exclusively that at least 8 states are investigating the effects of Instagram on children. Attorneys general from the states say they're looking into whether parent company Meta, formerly known as Facebook, violated consumer protection laws and put the public at risk. The Wall Street Journal reported in September that internal research at Instagram showed that the platform is especially harmful to teenage girls and can exacerbate body image issues. Meta was not immediately available for comment on the multi-state investigation. The U.S. has made a deal with Pfizer to secure enough of its COVID-19 pill to treat 10 million people. That's if the drug is approved by the FDA, which could decide on whether to greenlight it before the end of the year. In a late-stage study, the pill was found to be 89% effective at reducing the risk of hospitalization or death in high-risk people with mild to moderate symptoms if taken within 3 days of a diagnosis. The U.S. previously agreed to purchase more than 3 million courses of a separate antiviral from Merck, which is also awaiting federal authorization. Turkey's currency, the lira, hit a record low against the dollar today. The deepening of the currency crisis came after the central bank there cut a key interest rate by 1 percentage point, the third rate cut in as many months. President Erdogan has pushed for lower interest rates to spur growth, but that unconventional plan could now jeopardize his political future. The lira has lost a third of its value since March, and consumers are facing higher prices for food, medicine, and energy. According to official measures, inflation reached nearly 20% in Turkey in October. And CVS, the nation's largest pharmacy chain, plans to close 900 of its stores, or nearly 10% of its U.S. locations, over the next 3 years. The company plans to add primary care offices at some remaining sites and convert others into health hubs with diagnostic testing, mental health services, and hearing exams. CVS says it expects to record a restructuring charge of roughly $1 billion in the fourth quarter. Coming up, how automakers are trying to weather the global chip shortage.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
The auto industry has taken a big hit from the global chip shortage. Now, some automakers are trying to steer their way out of it by partnering up with chip makers directly. Today, Ford announced a deal with the U.S. semiconductor manufacturer GlobalFoundries to develop chips. And GM, another big Detroit automaker, said it's looking to forge ties with the industry, too. For car companies, it could be a route out of the chip shortage. So how are they doing it? And will it work? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal automotive reporter Mike Colias. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
So, Mike, before we get into the details of this partnership, let's recap how the chip shortage has impacted the auto industry over the past year and a half, especially Ford.
Yeah, so computer chips are all over cars. They electronically control everything from your brakes to your steering to your touchscreen. And so over the past year plus, you can almost think of it like rolling brownouts in the auto industry where you've had full factories that have gone down for weeks or even months at a time because of a shortage of computer chips. And so Ford Really, in the first half of the year, Ford might have been more affected than any other car company. There was a fire at one of their plants in Asia, a supplier plant in Asia that really hurt them. And, you know, for example, in the second quarter, they lost half of their planned vehicle production. It's just a massive disruption for a car company.
So what do we know so far about this new partnership that Ford is launching with GlobalFoundries?
Yeah, it seems a little bit loosely defined at this point. I mean, we don't really know terms or an investment amount. But I think the takeaway is that Ford is going to work with GlobalFoundries on early R&D and design of chips. And that's something that car companies really haven't done in the past. I mean, they've relied on their supply base. I mean, before this computer chip crisis, I talked to executives who acknowledged they didn't really have any idea where some of their chips came from at a high level, because there's so many chains within the supply chain, links between here and there. And so a lot of car companies have taken a greater interest in where those chips are coming from, as you might imagine. Ford is taking it one step further here by actually saying, we want to get in on the design and development of these things and potentially down the road into manufacturing of chips. Now, I don't know if that means in a JV with GlobalFoundries or if they would just invest in a facility that would be dedicated more for Ford. Those things are sort of to be determined.
As you say, this is often something that the auto industry has left to outside suppliers. What are the benefits of Ford or any motor company potentially making their own chips in-house?
Well, I think what Ford is saying is they feel like they could sort of be more targeted for exactly what they want these chips to do and how efficient they can be in doing it. So, for example, one of the big things that everyone's chasing in the auto industry is automated assisted driving systems. So think of like automated braking or steering. You know, if you get on the highway, you press a button and the car essentially drives for itself until you need to take back over. I mean, that's a big technology right now in the car business that all the car companies are working on and trying to refine. Ford is saying that by designing its own chips, it thinks it can enhance that capability. You know, they control their own fate, essentially. You know, they feel like if they're able to design and develop on their own, they have a tight partnership with a semiconductor company, they may not be left in the situation they are now, which is facing this crisis that has disrupted production.
So allowing them to circumvent where they're seeing the holdups right now.
Yeah, I think they feel like they can control that part of the supply chain much better, you know, if they're more involved in it, essentially.
The chip shortage is expected to continue perhaps well into next year. Why is it taking so long to resolve?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to go back toward the end of 2020, what we saw is it was really kind of a hangover effect from the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, car companies and their suppliers really cut back on production schedules. And so, you know, they didn't think they were going to need that many cars 6 months out. Turned out that wasn't the case. Demand snapped back. But when that happened, there was also booming demand for consumer electronics and appliances. All those things require chips, too. And so essentially, there wasn't enough chips to go around. And so that stuff takes time to come online. And the auto industry sort of has an added problem in the sense that they tend to use older, less expensive chips. And that's not what a semiconductor company, you know, those are low margin products that, you know, a lot of semiconductor companies probably don't want to add capacity to make cheap stuff. And so it's going to take a while, I think, for the car industry to sort of catch up. Most predictions are through 2022, we're going to still see some disruptions, although a gradual easing throughout next year is kind of what people are calling for at this point.
So in the meantime, are other chip companies and car companies looking to team up to sort of circumvent this the way Ford is hoping to do? And what could those partnerships mean for both industries?
Yeah, I mean, just literally hours after Ford came out with this news, GM and executive Mark Royce was speaking at a conference, and he said they're working with a handful of some of the biggest semiconductor companies looking to get into development. So I think what you're seeing is, you know, car companies, because they're pushing into these advanced technologies, electric vehicles, autonomous driving, connected car, you know, remote updates of the car, they're being forced to get into areas of the supply chain where they would just cede that to a third party. And so batteries is a big example of this, where you've got GM, Ford, Volkswagen, almost all of the big car companies now building battery plants. You're starting to see the same thing in semiconductors. And this is really going to kind of stretch the abilities of the car companies, you know, and their talent bases to see if they can get into some of these areas that are sort of out of their comfort zone.
That's Wall Street Journal automotive reporter Mike Colias. Mike, thank you so much for joining me today.
You bet. Thank you.
And finally, if you take a look outside in the early morning hours tomorrow, you might catch a glimpse of a rare partial lunar eclipse called the Beaver Moon. The moon will turn red as the Earth's shadow passes over it, leaving just a tiny sliver of moon. The eclipse will last 3 hours and 28 minutes, making it the longest lunar eclipse in 581 years. So, when's the best time to catch it? Here's our reporter, Joseph Pisani.
So one astronomy professor who I talked to said that he recommended going out around 2:15 Eastern time, because that's when you can start to see the shadow creep into the moon and start turning red. But then he recommends also going out again at 4 a.m., and that's when most of the moon will be that red color. And then after that, it'll start returning back to normal and the shadow will creep away again.
If you can't wait until then, you can check out the website timeanddate.com for an animated preview of what it'll look like throughout the night. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.